Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Why the hell did the 49ers play Brock Purdy against the Saints last night? Larry and I will discuss that and much more next on Conan Kruger. Welcome to Conan Kruger, powered by BetUS. That's Larry Kruger. I'm Grant Cohn. We got an hour today. Let's jump right into it. As you know, Brock Purdy played with backups yesterday against the Saints starters. It was kind of strange. Kyle Shanahan said, "Hey, that's football." Well, today on the Kay Adams show, Raheem Morris, head coach of the Falcons, who used to work with Kyle and is not playing Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins in the preseason, was asked why. Here's what he said. And then I want to get your take on what Kyle Shanahan did. So there's his face. Let me press start.
Do you value reps in the preseason at the quarterback position differently than most coaches?
No, it's just, you know, most of the guys that got those young quarterbacks out there, they probably playing their first team O-line. They probably playing their first team people with them. And they playing with people that they would be out there on a normal basis. You know, what we can do in practice is we can simulate that against our own guys while mitigating injury, while limiting the fact and putting them in harm's way in order to do some things. It's just not worth it. You know, one thing I do learn about a coach, you don't get mulligans if you do get a player hurt that you're counting on. And I want to prepare myself and put myself in the best situation not to have that.
Okay, Larry, what do you think of what Raheem Morris said? What do you think of what Kyle Shanahan did?
Well, you know, it's one of those situations. What if you're never going to have an ideal situation? And then is the ideal situation to never play any of your best players?
That's what Morris is doing, at least at the quarterback spot.
I mean, that week one game against the Jets is not going to be rescheduled. That game's, they're going to play that game. So you're going to have to get ready by that date. And so I personally hear exactly what he's saying. If it was me, I would side with Sean McVay style, which is if it doesn't count, it doesn't count. And my money guys will show up when it counts. And I'll figure it out in practice how to keep them fresh and get them ready. I like the McVay approach because the money is big. And if you lose a money player, you lose a ton. You may lose a chance to win the whole thing. So I like that approach more than the old school approach of we need to bang heads. But there's three preseason games, and Kyle Shanahan is going to play Brock Purdy probably three series. He wanted to play. Three of his five offensive linemen, starting offensive linemen, were in there. There's going to be a time this year where he's in there and he only has three of his top tier linemen in there with him. So to me, getting used to having a couple new linemen in there is hardly like, wow, that's never going to happen. That is going to happen. So I don't have any real problem. And then I watched the hits and the rush and this and that. He got away, this and that. He got pressured a couple times, maybe three times. He took a couple of hits, nothing huge. It was fine. I mean, was it ideal? No. Did they get a lot done? No. But I think he does need to play, and I think this was his best opportunity to play.
if he's going to play, I don't really understand the benefit of him playing with Trent Taylor and Chris Conley and Eric Sobert and a bunch of guys he might target like once or twice this season, or guys who aren't going to play very much at all. That's what I didn't understand. It's like, so he plays with Brendel and McKivitz and Pooney, and that's about it, and doesn't go well. Like, what was the benefit really? Like, just to get a sweat? Just to feel like seems like he's beyond that level. I think if he's going to play, you should give him Jennings and maybe Debo so he can at least simulate something he'd be doing week one.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, it wasn't ideal, but okay. In the situation, would it be better if you're not going to be able to get an ideal situation, would it be better to have no reps or some reps? I don't know. I mean, that's totally debatable. As I said,
those reps,
they think no reps. Kyle's pretty smart. He says full reps. I would go somewhere in the middle. I like the idea of two or three series, right? If you said to me before, you know, back in May, if we're standing there in the sidelines, hey, this summer, Krug, what do you think for Purdy in the preseason? Two or three series, period. Oh, stretched over three games, any way you want to do it. That's what I would have said. That's probably what's going to happen. So I'm not going to be exercised. It didn't look very good. I'll say this. They couldn't have gotten a whole lot out of it because it just didn't. They just didn't get a whole lot done.
Yeah. I mean, you asked about Tanner. Then I asked about Brock last night. How'd you assess him? He's like, well, you know, it was really kind of hard to assess him. Like he didn't really have much open. There wasn't many opportunities. It's like, yeah, I mean, we could have predicted that. The Saints are playing their starters. That's right. A good defense. You rested almost all of your starters. I think any football fan or person with a brain could tell you Brock's going to be up against it. I mean, what's he supposed to do? Guys aren't getting open. Pass protection isn't great. So what he did, what we would expect, try to make a play.
Yeah.
Try to make something positive happen. And almost he almost threw an interception that he probably shouldn't have even tried to make that play. Because,
great play by the tight end to break it up.
Yeah. So anyway, it just felt like that was a predictable result, but it's over and he didn't get hurt. So I'm done clutching my pearls. Let's look to the future.
Okay.
Trent Williams isn't practicing. Brandon Ayuk isn't practicing. Christian McCaffrey isn't practicing. Debo's in great shape. Kittle's in great shape. Kyle isn't calling plays and he has a mullet. What do you expect for Brock Purdy this year? It seems like the variables around him are a little different.
Shanahan does look a little scraggly right now. Okay. I mean, he's got the mullet and the beard, and it's salt, a lot of salt and pepper, and he's looking like, you know, he's been beaten down, man. He's been beaten down.
Yeah.
What was the question again?
What are like realistic expectations from? Is Purdy going to have a more difficult? Because everything went perfect for Purdy last year. Led the league in passer. Led the league in like 17 freaking stats. Best statistical season in Niners quarterback history. What do you expect from him this year? Is it going to be tougher? I mean, there's a lot of things not going his way right now that he's not in control of.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I mean, let's talk, you know, put the first things first. Right now, you've got a house that, you know, the garage door was blown off and there's no, you know, third of the roof isn't there. You know what I mean? And, you know, so you got to address those issues. And if you don't address those issues, it's going to determine what kind of season you have. Right. I mean, we can, you know, we can't talk about this like, well, you know, you said they were going to do this, but then they didn't get Ayuk and they didn't get Trent. Everything that I'm going to say about the Niners is predicated on those guys coming back. It sounds like Trent is out, that the communication's good, according to Lynch, and they expect him back. How it works out, I have no idea. I'll just take them at their word. As far as Ayuk, it sounds like it's day to day, really, and it sounds kind of volatile, and that any result is possible. But it also sounds like I was just talking to Kev earlier today. He was telling me that the latest Breer report is that Pittsburgh's offer was less than $28 million. And that's what drove Ayuk back to the Niners and back to the negotiating table with them. So, you know, maybe.
So does that mean, hold on, does that mean that the Niners have offered more than the Steelers and that Ayuk still hasn't accepted it? Is that, that can't be the case.
If that is indeed the case, that would be the case. That if Breer's report is right, which is that Pittsburgh's offer was less than $28 million to Ayuk, and that's what drove Ayuk back to the Niners, then yes, the Niners probably have the high bid, and he's still not signed.
Maybe before
which makes
taxes.
You wonder
Maybe
if
before
he wants
taxes. I can't imagine the Niners actually have the high bid on this one.
Yeah, I you would think, but and also we don't know what the relationship. You know, there's two things here. There's the contract and there's the relationship. There's either way, you know, either factor could derail this deal. So I don't know what to say, but I'm assuming those guys are there. Assuming those guys are there, I think Purdy has a really good year. He had a full off season. He's had a full season of reps. I mean, if you give a guy no reps and then full reps, I think full reps has got to make an impact. I think he'll be in lockstep with Pearsall, with Cowing, with JJ, with Debo, you know, with a lot more of his receivers. I think you're looking at, you know, a 3,900 yard passing season, 30 touchdowns, 8 to 12 picks, somewhere in there. That's what I think.
I'm concerned about Purdy in the sense that I'm not sure Ayuk's going to play for this team this year. It seems like the Niners are willing to, I mean, go to a certain area, but not complete the deal. And they want Ayuk to meet them the rest of the 10%. It feels like they're fighting about like a 5%, like you come to me, no, I go to you, that kind of thing. And like neither one wants to budge. And I think with look, the Niners would have traded Ayuk to Cleveland and New England. We know that for a fact. They're not that tied to Ayuk. They'd like to have him, but it's complicated to keep him long term. And I think that if Ayuk doesn't give them some type of a deal, they're going to wait and trade him midseason for a wide receiver.
You know, you and I agree on so many things, but yeah. I might disagree with you on they'd like to have him because, you know, they tried like crazy to replace him and they just haven't been able to.
Yeah.
Like if you're telling me that, like if Pearsall was this monster stud this summer, would they have traded Ayuk? I think so. If Cowing was just some awesome star, would they have just kissed off on Ayuk? Maybe. Because I kind of think that they didn't want him, but are kind of forced to because they see his impact. They see what the trade offers look like. And then he held in. Yeah. When you hold in, it's like hard to be like, hey, man, you know, let's deal with the guys here. He is here. You know what I mean? So I thought his hold in.
So, I mean, I think they wanted him, if that's the case, then a resolution is not guaranteed. In fact, it may not happen. Right. And let's say Ayuk isn't on this team this year. That's going to cut into Purdy's production. Let's say Trent Williams does come back, but has no offseason, isn't in football shape. I mean, he misses a couple of games anyway every year. Be worried, like, is he going to get hurt early in the year before he's really rounded into football shape? And if he does, then that's really going to impact Brock Purdy. We haven't even talked about Christian McCaffrey and his calf injury. So, I don't think he's going to have as good of a season statistically as last year, even though he should be a better quarterback.
They do have, I'll say this, at almost every spot, they do have more weapons than they like. They have more running backs and they have more receivers. And they, you know, it seems like they've got a lot of options here. So I don't know.
Is Mitchell an option, though?
Well, I mean, I don't like how good is Cowing? Like Jacob Cowing looked really, really good that first day, then got hurt, has looked really, really good the last three or four days.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he might be the guy that we saw last night. And that would give them a dynamic weapon with 4.3 speed that they didn't have last year. And that's adding a ton and maybe creating a lot of space for these other weapons. So that's the exciting part is that not only could Cowing be good, but he could kind of open up the field for these other guys.
Well, Larry and I will talk about Cowing later in the show. Before we get there, I want to ask you, why do you think Kyle Shanahan isn't calling plays? You were in the press conference. He's asked point blank, and he just kind of like jokes around the question like, oh, am I not calling plays? Oh, I just kind of felt like chewing sunflower seeds and doing nothing today. Like he won't really say why. He's never done it before. Why do you think he's doing it now?
Okay. Now, I don't have sources on this one, but I used to be the quality control guy. And so I've done all the deep dives on all the game planning, self-scouting, all the stuff that goes back and forth. I think Shanahan is so, you know, he has trends at this point. And I think the only way to throw people truly off your scent is to let somebody else call the plays. Because he probably gets so into his mindset of play calling that he can't do both well. He can't call the plays and kind of self-scout. So I think that this is maybe a way to give some of the guys on the staff a little love, a little experience, because he does do a lot of the roles. And I think it also is maybe a way to throw the teams that they're going to play in September off their scent as far as just Shanahan, his mindset, and what he's thinking.
That's a great answer. I love it.
I don't know. That'll be my.
I got a theory though. I mean, going in a different direction, the narrative around Kyle is, better. I mean, the critique, the negative narrative, better offensive coordinator than head coach, a little too focused on his play sheet and his next play than the big picture, and it bites him in the Super Bowl when he didn't know the rule to the overtime or whatever. Maybe he's responding to that narrative and being like, all right, you guys want me to be more of like a CEO coach? I'll do it for a couple preseason games. I'll throw you a bone. I'll give you a nod. Here's Clay Kubiak calling plays, and we're going to score about 17 points, and you guys will all want me to come back in a few weeks. But sure, I can do that. I'm a growing, mature head coach, and I've looked in the mirror. I mean, is this like a little bit of a nod to his criticisms?
I personally have never had a bad moment with Shanahan or Lynch. The closest I've ever come was when I suggested that Shanahan might need an in-game Brad Seeley type coach, just somebody right there who could help him manage the clock, because he is doing, let's be honest here, this is not just the head coach. This is the head coach and the offensive coordinator, and he sequences the plays, he designs the plays, he designs the routes.
The Rams and the Ravens just hired game management coordinators. Like, these guys exist. Go ahead.
And also, let's be honest, the game of football is bigger in the 80s than it was in the 70s. It's bigger in the 90s than it was in the 80s. And in 2024, it's way freaking bigger than it used to be. So nobody can be the coach and the GM anymore. Shanahan kind of is in some people's eyes. He's like the final say on personnel, and right, he's the head coach, and he's the offensive coordinator. So,
and he's the general manager.
There's a lot going on there. So
he doesn't delegate very well.
I think he
now
needs
he's delegating.
To, yeah. And maybe there, but I mean, the last thing 49er fans, I mean, want to see is him give up play calling. Could you imagine if Kyle Shanahan gave up play calling and play sequencing and said, I'm going to have somebody else do it, I'm just going to do the other stuff. Now, his strength is the play calling, but it might be good to give another look to opponents.
Yeah, this is a preseason only thing, but I mean, yeah, it'll give him another look. I don't think the Niners are game planning, so maybe it, I don't think what he would call in a preseason game would necessarily go into the scouting report anyway, but it does seem like something that it's like, if there's a book on Kyle, okay, everyone says that I'm a control freak and I don't delegate and I want to do everything myself. Okay, well, I can address that in the preseason in some meaningless games. Oh, Clay Kubiak's going to call, but no problem. See, look at me. You're all wrong about me. I'm a cool guy. I'm not a control freak at all. Actually, no, everyone wants Kyle Shanahan to call the play. So I think it's kind of funny that maybe this is bigger than Kyle. Maybe this is like between his dad and Clay Kubiak's dad. Maybe this is like, look, you better give my friend's son a shot. Okay, dad. Favors.
Yeah, maybe this is Kyle's Gilbert Arenas moment. Remember Gilbert Arenas refused to shoot that one night under Eric Musselman? He's like, man,
I
can go for 30, but I'm not going to shoot.
My dad took me to that game. I remember
really?
That game. I was in high school. Yes.
Musselman's calling timeout. Timeout.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's do some BetUS. Because if you're looking for a new sports book this football season, BetUS is the answer. Larry knows what I'm talking about. They have the fastest payouts in the industry. 125% sign-up bonus up to $2,000 on your first three deposits. Fast and easy deposit withdrawal process. We both have a BetUS link in our description, so check out Larry's, check out mine.
Yep.
You'll get 24/7 personalized service, 365 days a year, live wagering on all major games, the best betting variety in the business, 10% back on your net losses twice a year, and your very own personal account manager. So, Larry, let's check out the I love preseason lines. The idea that you can wager on games that don't matter is pretty much why I love sports so much. So the Niners are 5.5-point favorites over the Raiders. Larry, based on what? How? We don't even know how much the starters are going to play. It could be two series.
Right. I mean, it's like Vegas knows all.
Yes.
They know all. So yes. It's like when you see a crazy line, instead of going, man, that line's wrong, lean into it and go with
preseason though. Like, I'm inclined to pick the Raiders to cover 5.5 points. It's going to be freaking Brandon Allen playing three quarters of the game for all we know.
Not only that, if you looked at some of these scores in the preseason, for the most part, everybody's scoring like, you know, under 15 points. So, I mean, the unders, you know, I'll take any points.
35 over under. Yeah. Yuck.
Yeah, that does sound bad.
So the Niners are supposed to win 20-15, essentially.
If Kyle Shanahan could go running clock in the second half, he would.
They should. But you know what? He actually challenged the call in the last game. Yeah, that should be an instant fine. Challenges and timeouts in preseason games should be banned.
I know. We had two challenges last night.
I'm not even joking. Why do those happen? Anyway, let's get back to the BetUS content. What do you think? Do you want the over under, or do you want to do the point spread?
Let's go point spread. I like the Niners I think the Raiders are like when I look at the Niners depth and I look at the Raiders depth, I think even if the 49ers are down 7 points at halftime or 10 points at halftime, I think 49ers in the second half could win 14-0. I think Niners are a much deeper football team than the Raiders.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm just looking at like, okay, Jaguars are 7-point favorites over the Falcons. Why? Because the Falcons aren't going to play Penix or Kirk Cousins. Is that why? So they'll be playing their third. Okay. Maybe I'll stay away from them. But the Bengals, 5.5-point underdogs to the Colts. Why?
Seriously.
Why? The Bengals I like that. Give me the Bengals. This is my favorite thing to ever wager on. Games that don't count. Preseason football. This is my thing. I love this.
What's Bears Chiefs?
I feel like Vegas isn't taking these spreads that seriously. It's like, who's really betting on this? Me.
People bet on this. I mean, you know, I mean, heck, I heard Tolbert the other day talking about it. He's like, I bet on the preseason.
The Rams are 6.5-point dogs because they don't play their starters. Which makes me kind of want to. I'm picking the Lions. Oh, Lions or Steelers? 6 points.
Oh, go with the Lions.
Go with the Lions, right? That's money.
It's weird because the Niners had this thing going with the Steelers and the whole Ayuk thing. I decided I'd watch the Steelers this summer. So I've watched them. I watched them against the Texans. I watched them again this week. Russell Wilson is done. And Justin Fields never was good. And those guys, I mean, their offense is bad, really bad.
Yeah, and they're not one Brandon Ayuk away from fixing it. All right, I'm locking this in. That's the bet, 165 to win 150 on BetUS. Again, use the link in my description or in Larry's description for the best sports book on the internet. Larry, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Are you concerned about Jake Moody? He's missed a field goal in like four of his last five games?
Yeah. I mean, he's got a big leg.
Yeah.
He's got the exact demeanor that I like in a kicker, which is he's confident. He's quiet. He's not braggadocious or anything, but he's got a quiet confidence. He's got the huge leg. He did hit 250-plus yarders in the Super Bowl. One of them was really long, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's got that, and he's got youth. It's like, you know what? This is why I don't like investing third and fourth round picks and punters and kickers, because they kind of ride this roller coaster deal, and there's injuries. And once you invest a third round pick in your kicker, it's like you got to stick with them. So, I mean, they got to ride it out. And the same with the punter. I mean, I like this new kid, Harvin, they have, but he's got a big leg. But you spent a fourth on Wisnowski, you're going with Wisnowski. You spent a third on Moody, you're going with Moody. But yeah, I'm concerned a little bit about Moody because he's never, ever as a pro gotten into what I would call a real good rhythm. Seems like he's kind of hit and miss. And hit and miss. They don't lean on him a lot, but you know what I'm saying? It's like he hasn't had enough success to really make you feel like good things are coming.
I feel like he's a bad fit for the 49ers. Like Robbie Gould was kind of perfect for them the way I saw it. He didn't have the strongest leg, but this is a team that has a good offense that shouldn't be kicking field goals from 55 yards out. They should be like going for it on fourth and five. They should be kicking field goals closer in, and you want a guy who's just basically automatic inside 45. That was Robbie. If it's 50 plus, I don't know. But you don't need to be kicking like that. You don't really major in that anyway. And that's really what Moody's there for. He can make you some long field goals, but an extra point, a 35 yarder, they could be adventures. And really when the pressure's on, that's when you worry about him the most. He missed an extra point in the field goal, in the Super Bowl. So I almost feel like trade him, man, and bring in a vet.
Trade him? I mean, was there somebody out there that is looking to trade for him? I mean, that'd be one. Yeah. But I kind of agree that, I mean, even going way, way back to Ray Wershing and the Niners of the 80s, Ray Wershing wasn't a monster kicker. Now, guy kicking was different back then altogether. But Wershing was that guy who you knew was good 40 and in. And so you knew, as Walsh knew, hey, if we can get to this yard line, we got a money 3 points. And Robbie Gould gave you that exact same vibe. It's like, if you can get me inside of my range, I'm going to hit it. Even with all the money on the table, I don't care if the snow's falling. That kick in Green Bay was amazing. Mm-hmm. But they went this route. And now it's like, sometimes in life, you got to commit to your direction. And when you draft, when you use a third round pick on a kicker, you're basically saying for the next 5 years, we're going with this kicker. So they're going with him. They're going with him. And if you listen to Shanahan, like, there's no wavering at all. He's totally like, yeah, we're going with him.
We'll see how long he can stomach it. Chris O says, if BA signs, then this is the last season of Debo. They cannot keep both wide receivers plus sign Brock and others next offseason. Again, that's why I'm not so certain that Ayuk's getting that extension. I think Kyle and Debo like that.
And even Kyle and Ayuk are not. Game, they were talking.
Oh, every day. Too much sauce says, what Niners will make an all-pro team this year?
Who? Well, let's go George Odom on special teams. Seems like he's just awesome on special teams.
Kyle Juszczyk is fullback.
Kyle Juszczyk is fullback. Maybe Kittle.
Yeah.
Trent,
maybe Fred Warner, although we'll see what he's got a lot to prove without Dre Greenlaw. Maybe Nick Bosa, although he kind of fell off. Maybe CMC. That's maybe Debo.
You know who might make it because he's having that good of a camp and he looks that good.
Lenore?
Yeah.
If he has 6-7 picks, absolutely. Nolan says
he looks awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really good. If Kyle's head coaching career ended today, is it a failure? Oh, well, if it ended today, why would it end today?
Yeah.
He's going to be coaching for the next 30 years.
I mean, you can't call a guy a failure
Cliff Kingsbury's a failure.
Yeah. I mean, Richie Kotite was a failure. Mike Nolan.
All right, let's get to the game. The smell in the
building was not good.
What did you think of Jacob Cowing? What do you think his ceiling is, and what do you think his role can be this year?
I love him. Now, I called my buddy who scouted him in college and said, is this guy soft? Because, he played that one day, and then the next day he pulled the hammy. And he's like, no. He's like, he's been really, really, he's not soft. And this guy produces, and he's done it in multiple offenses, and he'll do it inside in the slot, and he'll work outside, and he'll work back to the quarterback, and he's got great instincts, all this stuff. We have not seen Cowing look bad. We've seen him look very good, and then we've seen him pull a hamstring where he's kind of limping around. He had 3 or 4 days where he didn't look like 100%. But man, he looked great.
And that's
great
very common for rookies coming into camp. Like, you don't quite understand the workload. And often, Pearsall did it too, but seems like he's been pretty good last week.
He's really consistent route runner. He separates. And, what I like about rookie receivers who do what he's doing, he's catching a lot of different balls.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Like, so he's running an assortment of routes. It's not like he's got one route that he can catch. This guy has made about 7 different catches.
Did you like that out and up?
Yeah, I mean, and I like him across the middle. I love him on some of that sprint motion stuff.
Yep.
Because he's really, you see somebody that fast, and the ball skills are legitimate, and he's a little bit tougher than you think, and the footwork's really good. So I'll say this, and I said it to you a month ago, but I'll say it again. I think Cowing is going to make a bigger impact than Pearsall, because I think Cowing has, the NFL is about athletes in space who can separate, who can't. And Cowing is an athlete and can separate in space against other athletes. And Pearsall, I think he's got short area quickness. I think he's a more of a gadgety kind of a short area guy. I don't see him as dynamic as Cowing. I think he's less dynamic.
Yeah, I think Pearsall may be more of a possession receiver, whereas Cowing can be like a home run threat. I mean, I think one thing, like Kyle, I think, and Mike McDaniel are pretty competitive, I want to say. And the big difference between their offense is that McDaniel's has so much more speed. And I think Kyle's been trying to add to it somewhat unsuccessful. I mean, Ayuk is their deep threat. He doesn't even run a 4-4. Hell of a deep threat. But if they could have one guy like Cowing, some guy, it's like defenses are so concerned about Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, and McCaffrey. You forget about the fifth guy and he runs a 4-3. That's exactly what you need. And I feel like that's what Cowing provides.
And that is also why Grendo is going to be the most intriguing player for us to watch this week and this next game, because Grendo also runs in the 4-3s, but he's like, you know, huge body. So, and he doesn't really have a position, but he's like so big and fast that you know that he won't slip through waivers. So that to me, that's the big decision of the week. What is, you know, can they get him on the field? What does he look like? Do they, you know, IR him for the year and redshirt him? Do they, you know, because they're not going to lose him, I don't think.
We're going to get to the running backs right next, right after this. Dazza says, if we re-sign BA, what's Pearsall's role in the 49ers? I'm not sure he's going to have a role this year, considering, I mean, look, it's not just that he's hurt. When he was healthy for that week of training camp, they wouldn't let him do one-on-ones because they didn't want to throw him in the deep end yet. They essentially felt he wasn't ready for it, like more than physically, mentally. So I'm prepared for him to be inactive early in the season while Cowing is the punt returner and number four receiver.
Yeah, early on. You know, it's hard. It's with JJ sitting early there. On. It's hard to see Pearsall getting a lot of run with Jennings on the team right there if everybody's healthy, but we'll see. And I, you know, that's the beauty of this. For, I mean, if you're Ricky Pearsall, you got to love the fact that you're a Niner. On some teams, they'd be like, get out there. On this 49er team, they're like, you know what, get right. When you're right, we'll put you out there.
Yeah. Also, if I'm right, and I rarely am, but if I'm right and Brandon Ayuk doesn't play week one and eventually gets traded, then it's going to be interesting to see how the Niners replace him in the starting lineup early on in the season. Is it going to be Chris Conley, really? Or would it be Cowing? Or do they see him more as a slot guy? Could Pearsall get that job? I wouldn't think Pearsall's done enough this offseason to start week one. I'm not sure Cowing would either. What do you think would happen in that scenario?
If there's no Ayuk?
Yeah.
Who starts
week one?
That is a good question. I mean, you get the feeling the more you watch the 49ers that they have a lot of belief in Chris Conley. You know, it does seem like they really like Chris Conley.
Could I also say that like Kyle just has a?
What about Trent Taylor too? I mean,
yeah, I mean, God,
what, is Trent Taylor making the team here?
Maybe he's starting. Kyle really loves veterans, man. At every position, it's like, will he give the young guy a shot or go with the old vet? Oh, he's going to go with Chris Conley. I'm sorry. Like, wait, hasn't Cowing shot? I mean, I know it's early, but there's still three more weeks. Well, how about starting him?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean,
Chris Conley, he's 32.
I will say this. Chris Conley is aged really well. Like, I mean, he came out of college at Georgia with like 46-inch vert and 4.25 speed or something crazy. And he's still runs really, really well. And he's obviously a huge guy with great hands. So I don't know. I mean, to me, that's going to be the interesting thing is how many receivers do they take and who is that final receiver?
Let me see the last time he had three catches for 69 yards against the Rams backups week 18. He had three catches for 19 yards against the Chargers in 2022. He had four catches for 37 yards in 2021. I don't know, man. I mean, he could be on the field running clear out routes, but he's not going to get targeted very much.
Well, you know, and somebody in here in the chat made the point that that Conley would get through waivers. And that's kind of what this is about, by the way, towards the end of camp. It's like, it's not just like who's the best 53. It's like,
right,
you're trying to manipulate the whole thing so you get the best players on your practice squad. Some guys go through it, will get through waivers. Other guys won't. They did this with Purdy, right? They got rid of Sudfeld because they thought Purdy wouldn't slide through. So you got to, you're guessing. It's guesswork.
Ha ha ho ho LOL says trade Purdy to first, give Dobbs $6 million. Let's freaking go. That was funny. I liked it. Give Dobbs $6 million. Why six? Two first
for
Purdy?
I will give you $6 million.
Okay. Who should be the fourth running back? I'm assuming the top three will be Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason. Number four, Cody Schaefer, Matt Breida. Someone else, Isaac Garendo. What do you think?
Okay, so right now you have McCaffrey, Hughescheck, Mitchell, Mason. You got those four, and you're probably going with five. And
right, Hughescheck being one of them as well. Yes,
right. So that means you're going to only go with one out of Matt Breida, Patrick Taylor, Keyshawn Vaughn, Cody Schrader, and Isaac Garendo. I love Cody Schrader. Don't get me wrong. But to me, I think he's kind of demonstrated in these first two games that he would pass through waivers. So I think he's more of a practice squad developmental type player. I don't think you have – at the beginning of camp, I told you I thought he would not pass through waivers. But now I think he's only going 2 yards a carry. He's useful, but I don't know. I think he probably passes through waivers. I would take a chance here. I'd probably go with Garendo just because Breida's an older back. You can get him any day. Keyshawn Vaughn I really like, but you know, he's nothing super dynamic about him. Patrick Taylor hasn't done anything this summer. And Garendo only had a couple days before he suffered the hamstring. But man, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's really big and really fast. And I think I'm pretty convinced he wouldn't clear waivers. So maybe you go Garendo on IR, Schrader to the practice squad, and you go with Matt Breida. Something like that.
They're going to do is go with Garendo because they draft him in the fourth round. And they're going to cut Breida and see if he'll probably be on the couch waiting around for him midseason. And then Schrader will be on the practice squad. And, they should keep Breida, though. Breida's better than... Well, we'll have to see what Garendo... I'd like to see Garendo do something to make this team. He has to do something to make this team.
Well, that's why it's a big week in practice, and then the Raider game's a big week for him. Kyle said it. You know, it's like, hey, man, if you get hurt early and we haven't had a chance to evaluate you, that really hurts, and that's his exact situation. So we'll see.
Okay, let's go defense real quick. Linebacker is a really interesting position because Dre Greenlaw is out for a while. Demetrius Flanagan Foles been around for a while. He's solid, but more of a special teams guy. Devondre Campbell's on the on the back nine of his career. And then they got the young guys, D Winters, Jalen Graham. They're intriguing. What do you see from the rookie, though, Tatum Bethune?
He shows up around the football
All
the time. I mean, I went and watched the Florida State game the other day. That's what I saw. He's just always around the football. And then in camp, he didn't look like anything at the beginning of camp. And then he understood the speed, the angles, where he's supposed to be. And then suddenly he shows up at the ball all the time in practice and then all the time in the game. He led them in tackles in the first game with 8. He led them in tackles last night with 10. It's a great sign because the 40 time says he's not good enough to play in the NFL, but those tackle totals tell you he is. Now, he might be a Mike linebacker, and he might be a first and second down guy that maybe has to come off the field because you can exploit him in coverage on third down. But, man, I mean, making tackles is making tackles, and you love those guys. So, to me, I think it's Warner and Campbell for sure. The revelation has been Curtis Robinson, who went from special teamer to he looks like a mini Fred Warner. And then Jalen Graham to me is awesome. I think Jalen Graham's a tremendous player. So I think those four guys for sure are on. Probably D Winters is number 5 in my mind. And then it just comes down to Bethune or Flanagan Fowles or nobody for that fifth. Do they go with a 6 linebacker or do they not? And if they do, is it Flanagan Fowles or is it Bethune? I would say almost across the board, if they get into this debate, Grant, I think they ought to go with the rookie, like almost across the board. Like if they get in this, like, you know, this guy or that guy.
Please tell that to Kyle Shanahan. Would you raise your hand and tell him politely in the press conference, like, hey, man, could you stop with all the vets all the time? Like some of these rookies have deserved it.
He's already said that they really, you know, feel highly and feel strongly about their rookie class. So
good.
You know, so Bernardo Green, Mustafa, you know, Bethune, Grendo, you know, a lot of these guys. Probably going to make the team.
Dre Greenlaw ran a 4.73 coming out of college, but he's not that slow. He hits high mile per hour on the field, and he's really fast sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
Bethune ran a 4.77. That's really slow. Is he like one of these Greenlaw guys who plays faster than that, or is he more like Chris Borland who is good in spite of his lack of speed?
It's a little bit of both, Grant. It's like he's functionally a little bit faster than that. So he plays a little faster than that, especially against the run. He takes the proper angles. He gets through the trash. He's got a lot of desire. He plays fast. But when you play the passing game and make him turn his back and run with somebody and cover downfield, that's where I think he's going to have a hard time mirroring. And he's going to have space in between. But you know, I'll say this. I mean, all defensive coaches will take anybody who shows up at the football, right? Because like 49ers have really struggled in the last few years to defend the screen. A lot of that, you know, I asked Wilkes about it. Hey, Steve, what's the key to defending the screen? He's like, you know, I forget. He started swearing. He's like, you know, you got to have kick ass or you got to have one or whatever. I forget. It was all about desire, in other words. And that's what Bethune does have. He is going to show up wherever the ball is. So I'm very excited by Bethune.
I want to see him on the field week 1. I think he's as good as any linebacker on the team, not named Fred. I mean, I'm not saying he's as good as Greenlaw, but he's not here right now. Sven says, what's your final prediction on IU contract numbers? Oh, you're making a big assumption there.
Yeah, that there's going to be a big contract.
Yeah.
I would say
27 and a half.
27. I'll say 29. I'll say 4 years at $29 million. Who knows?
And Patillo 63 says, don't know if you guys talked about them yet, but Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray are bunk.
Ronnie Bell had a bunch of balls thrown his way. He only caught a couple of them.
Yeah, I don't think either one's making the team. Let's talk quarterback. Tanner Mordecai looked pretty good. I didn't know what to expect. They gave him 6 throws. He looked better than he looked in practice. He kind of, you could see the arm strength. You could see the mobility. Like, you don't expect a quarterback of his size to throw that hard. What did you think of Tanner Mordecai? Is this guy legit?
I mean, I'm, if he's not, I'm fooled. I am completely sold that this guy is legit. I talked to him. I went and talked to him in the locker room afterwards.
I saw you.
And he's just, you know, he's just exactly, all, you know, just kind of like Brock, you know, kind of that aw shucks. You know, I'm just trying to do my part to do my part. You know, you know, nothing spectacular. But he's a veteran, and he's produced at the college level. He's got 4.46 speed. He's got the best arm of any of the quarterbacks in this camp. And he looked just like Brock in the mini camp in that he just looked kind of bored. And everything's right on time. He hits everybody pretty much in stride. He had a day the other day at practice where he had a couple balls that were picked. One of them was tipped. But for the most part, man, the ball comes out on time and good velocity, and he puts it on people. I watch all these one-on-ones that they do, and this guy sticks it on the numbers, man. So, and he's not small, and the 4.46 speed is rare. And then his college coach told Greasy that the guy's a hell of a leader. I'll say this. The kid broke his hand last year's throwing hand, 5 weeks before the LSU ReliaQuest Bowl. He played in the bowl game. He threw for 378 yards and three touchdowns and no picks, and it was like his best game ever against a really good defense. So I'm a believer. I think this kid, you know, I would say, I always play with it this way. You know, is he something or nothing? Well, most of these third string backup quarterbacks are nothing. This guy's something. I don't know how good he is. I don't think he's Brock Purdy, but he's not just like this throwaway. He sucks. This guy can play a little bit.
Do you think he'll make the 53?
If he has a huge game against the Raiders, and he looks awesome. I mean, I thought he looked really good. He started 4 for 4. He was in command. You know, he finished 4 of 6. I mean, he's not getting a huge run. He got fourth quarter in this preseason game. I mean, you have to have. I mean, I asked Greasy about Mordecai's upward mobility on the depth chart when we talked to those guys a couple weeks ago, and he said, hey, we really like him, but you know, we're a Super Bowl contender, and I don't know if we can have a rookie quarterback as our backup quarterback on a Super Bowl contender. And so I think they would love to bring him along slowly and put him on the practice squad. So my guess is either, you know, they might be rooting
the Niners not go to the NFC championship game with a rookie quarterback 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, and not only that, it's, we're not
what
asking.
What is this veteran thing that the Niners are obsessed with, right, Larry?
Well, and it's not like we're not Dobbs. This just in: Dobbs and Allen ain't Marino and Aker.
They're not taking you to the Super Bowl. They have 0%. Nothing against Dobbs and Allen, man, but it's not happening for them. If any of them give you a chance, it's Tanner.
I think so. Now, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but I'm just going to stay with what I think because that's what I think. And I've been wrong before, and Grant, you know me, I don't mind being wrong. I'll be wrong. I've been wrong. I'm going to be wrong, but you know what? I think I'm right on this kid. I think this is the second best quarterback the Niners have. And if Brock Purdy went down and I had to play with one of these three quarterbacks the rest of the way, I would rather play with Tanner Mordecai than those other two guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is so much like 2 years ago when Kyle said he knew Brock was the best quarterback. But when Trey went down, he just happened to go to Jimmy because Jimmy's a vet. It's like, well, if Jimmy never went down, you never would have went to Brock, and you would have been playing the worst quarterback just because. Like, don't do that. It looks like Dobbs. I mean, Dobbs was nice yesterday. He was good. Nothing against Dobbs. But Dobbs, it seems athletic, like he's the kind smart of quarterback who will keep you afloat for a month tops. He's not going to win playoff games for you. Neither is Allen. So what's the problem with playing the young guy? You won playoff games with a rookie 2 years ago. Come on, don't be scared.
Well, I mean, and my whole thing is just don't label everybody. Everybody doesn't have to be labeled. If we learned anything from the Brock Purdy thing, it's that, you know what? Stop sticking these labels on these people and telling everybody what their limits are. People will tell you what their limits are. There's all kinds of guys. I mean, nobody thought anything of Draymond Green. You know, he's pretty right. Damn good. The Warriors just drafted Trayce Jackson-Davis 57th in a 60-pick draft. He's 6'10". He can shoot, dribble, block shots. He's going to play in the league for 15 years. Why did he go 57? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes you just get lucky, and sometimes people just evaluate wrong, and then the Niners lucked out with Purdy. They may have lucked. I'll say this. The same guy, Brian Greasy, who kind of identified Brock Purdy, is also identified Mordecai. It was Greasy's job to scout the quarterbacks in the springtime for the draft that could be available in the seventh round or undrafted. And he liked Mordecai, recommended Mordecai. They went with Mordecai. He looks pretty good. And maybe Greasy, Grant, has a little bit of quarterback. I don't want to call him a whisperer, but maybe he's got a little bit of quarterback vision. Maybe he was a quarterback. He's a pretty smart guy. I like talking to Greasy. I think Greasy's pretty sharp.
I think he certainly does. Absolutely. I mean, his dad was freaking Bob Greasy. Like, it's one of the most, they're like the Mannings. Not quite, but they're like the freaking Mannings. So what I think is interesting is now that we sort of seen the template or the blueprint of what the Niners are looking for in quarterbacks, I don't think it's that hard to follow. I think it's kind of brilliant because other teams don't, what they want are like older, smaller, experienced quarterbacks. How many teams are even looking for guys like that? They're like, I want them to be 24 and 6 feet. Maybe 6 foot one tops and 5 years, maybe 6 years of college, 1,200 throws minimum. Like, those are guys who aren't on most teams' draft boards, but they're ideal for the 49ers. I mean, what a great situation to be in.
I just think that the athleticism that you need to get away from the NFL caliber athletes is so great now that kind of athleticism, Grant, is so rare that it doesn't always come in a 6'4", 220-pound package. Sometimes you're Kyler Murray. He's awesome at getting away. What's Brock Purdy really, really good at that nobody can figure out? He can constantly get away from all these guys. Why? Because he's got this insane little quickness to him. So to me, it's like that ability. Mahomes is not a sprinter, but, man, he seems like he's burning people with fourth-quarter runs in every meaningful game the Chiefs play in. So I don't know. So there's something about the ability to kind of scoot away from the defense that doesn't show up in any of these kind of workout numbers. And if you got it, you got it.
Agree. Brianna McDonald wants to know how many quarterbacks make sense for our final roster. It's going to be
First, I'd say hi, Brianna. Brianna works for the 49ers. I would.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, she works with Lindsay Polaris. We do the First and 10 podcast with Brianna.
And Lindsay. Brianna McDonald. What's up? How you doing?
Yeah. She does a great job. Yeah. How many quarterbacks? Well, that's one of the questions I was debating going into yesterday with some people. It's like, are the 49ers going to go with Brock Purdy as the one and let's just say Brandon Allen as the two? And then that third quarterback is going to be on the active 53? Or are they going to go Allen as the two or Dobbs as the two? And the third guy is going to go on the practice squad, because then if you're on the practice squad, you got to go through waivers. And I don't know that Allen or Dobbs or Mordecai, depending on what, you know, how people feel, I don't know which of those quarterbacks gets through waivers, but I would suggest Dobbs has the highest profile and probably would get grabbed. That'd be my guess.
Yeah. The only team that would grab Allen is a team that like runs the Niners system that wants someone who can like play, not even play right away, but like not have to learn it. I guess there's more and more teams that run the offense. I just don't think that Brandon Allen's that exciting at his age.
I mean, I would say Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's got Jake Browning and I think he kind of established himself. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't work out. It'd be interesting to see if Allen makes the final roster. I'm not sure he should. Is Trent Williams coming back? Kyle sounded pretty confident and definite about that one.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a major issue that doesn't have a real obvious solution that the Niners seem unbothered by. So they obviously are Lynch said the communication's good. I'll just leave it at that. I've got no indications. I've got no sources. I've got no guesswork. Who knows? All I know is Trent makes 23, and the best tackle right now is Wirfs. Besides Trent, and he's making 28.5.
David Baker says, here's 10 bucks just because. That's very nice of you, David. I appreciate it. Yeah. I think anything else you want to talk about? We got a few more minutes left. We got practice tomorrow, the next 2 days. That's it, 2 days, and then they're off again, and then they play the Raiders.
Well, you know what? To me, what's kind of interesting is the 49ers. You know, you never know what positions are going to look good and what positions aren't going to look good. But I kind of think, Grant, that they may have to go outside the roster for a defensive lineman here before the cutdown, because I just, you know, okay, so I think they're going to probably go 10 D linemen, and they're probably going to go 5 defensive tackles. Malik Collins, Hargrave, Givens, Jordan Elliott. Probably it was going to be Kalia Davis. Now it's going to be either Nick Williams, McGill, Shaquille Brown, Evan Anderson. None of them look great. I guess McGill may have looked the best. Evan Anderson didn't look very good in the game, in my opinion. But I haven't finished watching the second half. But then, so they may have 5 defensive tackles. But at defensive end, they've got Bosa, Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, and then your fourth guy is Beal, who's kind of, he's athletic, but, you know, he's kind of unproven. They don't really have a fifth guy unless they're going to go with Alex Barrett. Do you feel comfortable going with Alex Barrett, who's been a practice squad guy the last couple of years, as one of your defensive ends? I kind of think that that's the spot that they may try to find. I don't know, maybe Peyton Turner or Isaiah Foskey from the Saints from last night. Maybe Daryl Taylor gets cut. Maybe Joseph Osai gets cut. I just think that they're going to be looking for somebody who's going to get cut is going to be better than what they got.
Yeah, because they were supposed to be 5 deep at that DN position. It was supposed to be Drake Jackson and Robert Beal, but Drake Jackson's out for the year, and Robert Beal, what does he do well?
He's super, super fast, but he doesn't have a lot of moves. He doesn't have a lot of production.
Does he set an edge?
He's actually been, from what I've been gathering, a pretty good special team player.
Okay. But they need someone who could, like, defend a run or, like, rush a quarterback who's not Yetur Gross-Matos, Leonard Floyd, or Nick Bosa. You're right. They need another D end.
Yeah.
Or two.
They need another D end. And this week's going to be interesting because there's some talk on Bleacher Report that the Raiders may trade Tyree Wilson by the end of the week. That they're tired of Tyree Wilson, that they're going in other directions, that he's been a disappointment. He was a top 10 pick last year.
I got an idea.
That's the guy.
Tyree Wilson to the Niners for Brandon Ayuk. Also Devontae Adams, but he could just be like, they could slide him in the deal. Yeah, throw a little throw in. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind Devontae Adams.
That would be nice.
Devontae Adams. The other thing, I mean, to me, the one thing that's really stand out about the 49ers is that even though they don't have Greenlaw and they have Campbell, Campbell just looks okay. But man, Curtis Robinson and D. Winters and Jalen Graham and Bethune, all these young linebackers look really, really good. And then the Niners have such depth that's in the secondary right now. You know, Tracy Walker looked decent, I thought, in this game. Malik Mustafa, what a fourth round pick. I mean, that was a great get. That kid's going to be terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, and more important news, I just got my 75,000th subscriber. So thank you very much, everyone, for supporting the channel. Make sure you subscribe to Larry's as well. Larry, I think this was our best show ever. Great show.
Great show, everybody. Good job, everybody.
Good job, everyone. This was all about you.
Good job.
Thank you all. This round's on me.
As Rex Ryan would say, let's go get a GD snack.
Larry, I'll see you at practice tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.